Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And we are so excited to have Ricky with us today to hear his long journey, but always with a happy ending. So welcome, Ricky. We're happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure and grateful to be here.
Yes, well, we appreciate your time, and I noticed that, you know, I reached out to you on one of the Facebook platforms that are out there, and we just don't have enough people like you that help advocate for the Lyme community, so this is just one more way that we can give back to the community, so we definitely appreciate your time and look forward to hearing your journey.
Absolutely. I hadn't really shared my story publicly for quite a while, and now I'm just really getting the courage to share and talk about it and help the Lyme community. So,
well, good. That's what it's going to do by you sharing is helping not only to give inspiration, but just that hope too, you know, that somebody might be as bad as one of those listeners right now, and hearing others' journeys that they made it to the end gives them that hope that they can too. So anyways, I'm glad you're ready to share. I know that not everybody wants to talk about it after they beat that battle. It's a really tough time in our life, and a lot of people just kind of want to forget about it. And I totally get that. I just kind of feel like I was sick for so many years that it can't be for nothing. I've got to somehow give back to the community, share the knowledge that I've learned. And so it's kind of taken me on a different path in life as well. So anyways, so where did it all start for you? When, where were you? Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. So let's go back to 2017.
Okay.
I was working as a sales manager for a service company. I'd been there for a couple years. I was weight at the time because I was traveling in sales and things like that. So I was doing CrossFit for the last couple prior to 2017, trying to get in shape, and just was really struggling to lose weight and get into good shape. But I was disciplined in my eating. So I had that. I was eating healthy, but I started to notice loss of sensation in different mainly my legs. So it would just kind of not so much numb, but I would touch it and just not have that feel. So like most people, you know, you have something wrong, you go to the doctor. Now, before I went to the doctor, I did notice a small ring on my torso, just a light, faint ring, no bullseye, no anything like that. But I live in southwestern PA. I knew about Lyme, but never really paid much attention to ticks.
But you did know about Lyme. Okay.
I did know about Lyme. Yeah. So I took a picture of it, and I had my appointment with my primary care physician. I showed her that, and she wasn't too concerned about that. She said, "We'll run a Lyme test just to be sure," along with some other, a lot of different labs as well. So they ran the test. It came back initially positive. But they, you know, from there, it was a Western blot. So from there, they ran the bands and it came back negative. So she said it was a false positive. They reran the test, came back positive again, no bands. So she said, I think it's a false positive. I'm going to refer you to infectious disease. Okay.
Do you recall what labs they were using?
I don't. It was just through the hospital. It was a Western blot, I believe.
And those are more false negatives all the time, unfortunately. Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we don't learn that in the beginning, right? We don't know this.
No. And I'd even ask, like, you know, just in case, can I have an antibiotic? No. She's like, no, that's okay. I'll just refer you to infectious disease. And little did I know what kind of path this was setting me on. So I went and saw the infectious disease doctor, and she reviewed my labs. And a lot of my labs were not okay. It was really high. Liver enzymes were high. There was very little in the normal range. And she told me, she's like, well, you might have had some point in your life, but you don't really have it now. It's like, okay, so
why am I just now feeling this way? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she referred me to another doctor, to another infectious disease doctor, and kind of the same thing. That started a parade of doctors, and I just bounced around, and I kept running the same test just because my creatine kinase, which is usually associated with exercise and muscles, was through the roof. My cholesterol was getting worse. Blood pressure was 160 over 90, and here I am working out, eating healthy, not being able to lose weight, and I started to progressively get worse. And then I got into being referred to neurological doctors because I was having the muscle twitches, fatigue doesn't even cover it.
Right. You know, it's not a normal type of fatigue for sure.
It's not that I was tired, just you're drained completely. And they're just kind of giving me the runaround and just continued to get worse and worse. And as you're searching for answers, your mind starts going, well, what's the worst case scenario here? And then I started developing symptoms like the air hunger, started battling. I had a bout with depression most of my life, but this was on a different level. Was continuing to go to work. But it was tough. Continued to stay working out. It was kind of my outlet. But and then they started throwing around things like ALS and MS.
That's what I was wondering.
Nothing about Lyme.
That's what I was wondering on, kind of what was going on in your head as all of this was going on and you're not getting an appropriate diagnosis. You know, then you go to the worst, you know, what am I dealing with? And exactly things like that.
Mm-hmm. And it really is a mental challenge because, like you said, you're going to the worst case scenario. Then you're starting to lose hope. Like, am I ever going to find answers? I felt like a human pincushion after a while because I was getting labs drawn twice a week. I was on TRT because I'd found out I had low testosterone too. So I thought, well, maybe if I get that up, I'll get some relief. That was not the case.
So I'm curious, did any of the labs show abnormal or you were just, it was just looking good?
So
he had,
all my
he had
labs,
mentioned just a second ago that he's had been tested twice with the false negative or false positive what his primary says, of course.
Yeah, with the,
which we get all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Western blot is useless.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But we don't know this, right?
No,
it's not our job to know this.
but I was thinking all the other kind of, as they were doing thyroid, they were doing all CBCs and CMPs and trying to look neurological. I mean, was there any of those things that were showing abnormal that would point to anything?
Well, I had gotten to the point where I was saying I was the most unhealthy, healthy person that there was because they just started to go all out of whack, you know, liver enzymes, kidney function, cholesterol, HDL was in the single digits. Overall cholesterol was 450. So they're looking at my heart. I'm having heart flutters and different things. So I saw a couple different, heart doctors, three different neurologists, and they're all just kind of throwing up their hands going, I don't know. And then there was a couple times that I had to go to the emergency room. They're running the same labs, looking at the same things and going, we know something's wrong, but we can't tell you what.
Yeah. And, you know, that's quite the opposite from a lot of Lyme patients. We look sick, but our labs, we look really good on paper. Like nothing's wrong with you on paper. And in your case, it sounds like it might have been the opposite, that something was on paper. You were getting something. You just still couldn't get any answers for it.
Yeah. And it just, I think it just kind of kept them searching for different things that, you know, they couldn't find an answer for. And even on one occasion to the trip to the emergency room, my wife is a nurse and she went with me. And she's like, I cannot believe they're not telling you anything. And she sat there and she watched them tell me, we don't know. We can keep you overnight. And that's, my blood pressure was 210 over 170, I think. And they wouldn't give me anything. They're like,
are you serious? I mean, because stroke, you're in stroke risk.
Yeah, she was livid. And I was just scared. And, you know, the other aspect was, you know, what you're feeling physically and mentally was my relationships were starting to get strained with my wife, with my kids. I was so irritable. And and looking back, what I did is, it's amazing how well I was able to pretend that I was well.
We get really good at it, don't we?
Get really good at it. And I was able to hide it from, you know, my coworkers and friends and stuff like that as much as I possibly could. My wife saw the worst of it. But I'd gotten so bad that even I could have had a hard time feeding myself because I was shaking so bad and the muscle spasms. I'd stab myself in the face with a fork a few times and just, and I'm still searching for answers and just, if you feel like you're losing your mind, you're going crazy. I'd come home from work and I'd go straight to the bedroom because I'm exhausted from pretending all day. And I have two little girls and they were young at the time. And I just had to have to go straight to the bedroom and either pass out or have panic attacks. Wow.
That's just crazy. So from the beginning, 2017, mm-hmm. to when you got your diagnosis, how did you get your diagnosis? Who finally was your savior? Or did you have one?
So I did have one. And I'm a fighter to begin with. So I was lifting weights the entire time. I actually got into bodybuilding. I'm still not sure how I managed to do that, but it was just my outlet. I just needed something to close out the world. Something that still I was striving to, because I felt like all my dreams were taken away. All the things I wanted to accomplish in life, I'm starting to think, how am I ever going to accomplish them now? Right. Every day is a challenge. I begged God to take me on numerous occasions. Thought about it myself, but that was not an option. It's hit my family close to home, things like that. And I saw the wake that it left behind, and I was not going to do that for my family. I'm eating healthy. I'm doing the things right. I'm taking supplements. I'm trying different things. And I eventually, I was going to the chiropractor, because the pain in the neck and just everything, trying to find relief. And he said, you know, I know this doctor, he's a Lyme specialist. And I was like, no, it's not Lyme. He's like, you might want to go see him just in case. And I was like, okay. And of course he's hard to get in with. So I'm like, oh, I'm never going to get in. But I did eventually get in. He ran the Igenics Lyme test and it came back positive.
That's the bingo, that right? The
Igenics.
Years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did they test just the Borrelia or did they test other co-infections at the same time?
He just tested the Borrelia.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I mean, what a relief. I mean, obviously, once you have Lyme, you think, oh, great, now a solution. But, you know, now you start a journey that is a forever journey.
We get
in
really
itself.
Excited when we get a diagnosis and somebody believes us that something's wrong. Little did we know how horrible that diagnosis was.
Yeah.
I mean, I could list a name of things I'd rather had gotten hit with than Lyme.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So how, I mean, how did you feel when you finally had something to point at saying that, I mean, I knew it?
Yeah, it was a huge relief to finally have, you know, a diagnosis for about 10 minutes. And then it starts to sit in because he's like, it's chronic, you know, it's throughout your body. And I'd gone through MRIs and all the muscle biopsies, genetic testing. So it was a relief to have all that done. But then I knew the fight was coming after that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of, I progressively got worse in that span of 2 years that I'm thinking I'm going to be in a wheelchair in 20 or less.
Yeah,
And I know you had mentioned earlier that you were familiar with Lyme. Were you that familiar looking back now? Did you realize what havoc it could wreak on our bodies like that? Or you just kind of had the knowledge of a tick bite and Lyme disease? And I always thought it was a dog disease. Because I remember taking the dog, where you got to get, you know, the Lyme and the fleas and all that. And so when they said Lyme disease, I'm like, Lyme disease, isn't that like for dogs? I didn't know.
I didn't really know either. I knew of it, but not to the extent that
of what it can
I would
do.
Have liked to have known then.
So how I mean, this doctor then created a kind of picture of what the journey would look like. I mean, what was this doctor explaining?
So I saw Dr. Onishi, Blackwater Osteopathic in Mount Morris, Pennsylvania. Fortunately, I was working very close to there. It's about an hour from my house, but I was working about an hour from there, very close to there. I apologize. But, you know, he specializes in Lyme patients. So he kind of laid out that he's not one to use antibiotics. So it was more of a natural, every patient is unique. We got to try some things, see how you react. And so we just kind of start going through different things. LDN was one thing that he prescribed. We did peptides, BPC-157, TB4, blood ozone therapy. And meanwhile, I'd already started doing things like breath work and ice baths and cold showers, salt baths, and just anything to feel 0.5% better.
Anything to make it so that through one more day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I had been carrying around what I call my drug bag. Had all my supplements and everything. It was just a lunchbox packed full of all kinds of supplements that was a ball and chain to carry around, because it had to take it everywhere.
And how, what kind of impact were you seeing from all the peptides and ozone and all of these things? I mean, were you starting to feel a shift, or was it getting worse, or was it just the same?
It got worse. So I started the drops like Berber, Panela, and some of those, and I'd started herxing really bad for a couple of days. And I actually didn't even really know that I was until I went back in and saw him, and I said, hey, I'm getting a lot worse. He goes, well, you're having a herx reaction. And so we adjusted some things, and the shift didn't come for a couple weeks after I'd finally gotten diagnosis, when my daughter, who was 4 at the time, asked my wife if Daddy would ever be happy again. And that hurt, but it also kind of lit a fire within me. Yeah. And in the, after that, you know, after I heard the diagnosis, like I said, I was relieved. But it begins to tumble back down. And like I said, I start to, like, am I going to be in a wheelchair in 20 years? Or how am I going to go on like this? This is so miserable. How can I go on to another day? I you know, I start asking, like, why has this happened to me? I'm a good person. You know, you start going through all those things. And after my wife had shared that with me, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to beat this. I don't care. I don't care what it takes. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to beat it. And I just set the intention right there that, you know what? It's got nothing on me. Let's go. And I started, I was, like I said, I was disciplined in eating and taking my supplements, but I just took it to a different level. Just disciplined everything in my life. I detoxed my entire life. That includes like friends that didn't make me feel good. You know, I just got home. I put the phone on the charger, didn't look at it, you know, just trying to do everything that I could. And I started listening to motivational, inspirational talks instead of listening to music and reading Lyme books and just getting educated. And I started to feel a little bit better. My outlook started to change. And then a couple weeks after that, so I'm about 4 weeks after diagnosis, I started to like, you know what? I'm learning a lot here. This is really teaching me a lot. I've learned so much, and you know, I was still lifting weights, and if I did it too hard, if I pushed too much, I'd be in bed for a couple of days, but I'd get up and get back to it. My wife would say, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. And for the first time, I'd started saying, you know what, it's okay. I'm glad I'm having a bad day. It's okay. That means better days are ahead. It was just a mindset shift for me that, you know, this isn't unbeatable. I started saying, and it's not that great, but I don't have Lyme. Lyme has me, and that was stupid of it because I'm going to win.
Yeah.
I think it does. You know, you mentioned earlier your daughter saying that, and of course that brought tears to my eyes. But I think it's important for, you know, those that are listening out there right now. You know, when you do change your mindset, but I think you have to find your why.
Yes.
And I completely agree. I don't think people stop to think about that. They're just so sick. They want to give up. They, you know, especially if they don't have a diagnosis yet, how can I get better if nobody believes me that I'm sick? So I just think it's so important. And for you, obviously it was those words out of your little 4-year-old mouth that just really flipped the switch in you. And thank God it did. Because that's where it starts turning for you. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing when you're just doing it for your own feeling better or not feeling better, but I mean, when you know that your existence, I mean, as a dad, you're there for your children. That's my existence, and there's nothing that can stop me from being that person, being that dad, and you know, so you, I mean, yeah.
That was part of the struggle as a parent, was being sick. And I hear other people say it, like, I have responsibilities to my family and I can't fulfill them. And there's nothing there.
It's not a good feeling.
It's not a good feeling at all. And the more I wanted it, just like I desired so badly to be the certain father and the certain husband. And I was so far from it and getting further for a while. But as soon as she said that shifted.
And I think like that shift in your mind, instead of looking at the suffering or that I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm struggling here, then to shift it towards what am I able to do? What can I do? You know, it's that mindset, you know, yes, I see the shadow, but you know, that means the light is not too far away, you know, so it's that kind of a mindset that you get a shift and look at, you know, what's possible instead of what's taken away from me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a whole paradigm shift. And instead of seeing myself in a wheelchair in 20 years, I started to think, you know, what am I going to achieve? What do I want to do? You get a better outlook. And what I've kind of learned is the body will follow the mind. I mean, if you think about a stressful event, you're going to feel it right now. You know, your heart rate starts going to go. Your body produces stress hormones. So I believe that having a positive mindset is crucial. That does not mean not to feel your emotions, though.
Yes.
Feel them. Sit in them. Allow yourself. I cried countless times. And
just don't get stuck there.
Don't get stuck there.
You can have that feel bad for yourself day. But I love how you know, your wife, you know, says you're having a bad day. And you know, okay, well, there's a better day coming. That's how you want to feel, you know. So you have that pity party for yourself. I think it's human nature. It's normal for us to feel that way. But you just can't stay there. And you've got to find the things that you can do. Mm-hmm. I used to get excited because I literally on some days, not all days, I could walk to my back patio and sit in the chair and look at the stars. Or during the day, I could hear the birds. And it sounds really, really silly, but I kept telling myself, I can do something. I don't know what it is, but today I can walk outside and sit outside and enjoy the birds. And it's the little things that, you know, the little victories that you can do that get you through the rough days.
It is, yes. And then a couple weeks after that, I was healed. I didn't have any more symptoms. I had no more tiredness. I started thinking, you know, maybe I'm just having a good day. Then another bad, you know, it went from having mostly bad days to mixing in a few good days to about half and half. And then it was good day and a good day and a good day. And I look back now and I am so grateful for having gone through it. Was it miserable? Was it hell? Yes. But it taught me how to live and how to love life and how to love myself. And it actually helped me be a better dad than I ever thought possible, a better husband. I would never wish it on anybody, but instead of being a victim to it, I just make the best out of it and just chose to be happy through it after a while. I mean, it is a process and allow yourself to feel that process, but I'm in a million times better place than I ever thought I'd be even before Lyme, and all my labs are normal now. I continue to get even healthier. I still have, my doctor said, I don't even know why you still come and see me, but we became good friends. You spend that much time with somebody and I still stop in and see him, but he said it, you know, you're continuing to get healthier. And
so how long were you actually doing the treatment protocols, the ozone, the, you know, your ball and chain bag that you carried around with you? How long were you actively in treatment?
8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Eight weeks.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And you change your mindset.
Yeah.
Continue on with what you're doing. And then you wake up one day and realize you can't remember the last bad day you had.
Yep.
Wow.
I kind of just gave it all up. I was like, whatever happens today happens. And
that's awesome. And I think, you know, with that and it's like, you know, Lyme, and I also see a lot of cancer patients, and it's like you have to take things to another level, like you're saying. You got to take it to that next level in order to be able to beat this and to you know, come on top. But then all those efforts, all those kind of refinement in who you are, you know, it's like alchemy, you know, where you you know, where you become just that, you know, that different individual that operates at a different level. You're the same person after. I mean, so now you're beaten, you know, that whatever the offender is, but you're still now at that stronger level, you know, and you know, the benefit to your family, benefit in your relationships, the benefit in your enjoyment of life. I mean, that's what a gift, you know, this has become.
It really was. And my whole life changed, like, right now, you know, just on, after about a day of realizing that it was a good day, it just, everything started to fall into place. I had a lot more energy, and just, it felt amazing.
Yeah. And that's what you're saying, is that the mind programs the body, and it obeys the mind. So the more you are then kind of visualizing, creating that reality, then the body follows. And so that's incredible.
So the gym, that's still your outlet?
So actually, when COVID hit, I stopped and kind of just focused on other things and just kind of took a break from that. But it was a crutch when I needed it.
And you definitely could have had a worse crutch than the gym, right?
Yeah, yes. That's true.
Yeah.
And you feel good? Understand.
I feel amazing. Yep. I struggled so bad with sleep, and sleep was kind of the last final piece that I had insomnia really bad. I'd go 3 days without sleeping, but I'd still function. So I couldn't figure that one out, but that was kind of the last symptom that I had to battle with. And now I sleep like a baby and zero symptoms. I haven't retested. I don't feel any need to. I mean, my healing was spontaneous. It really was, kind of just a surrender to it, and it was gone. And I was a whole different person after it happened, a whole different person. My diet changed, everything changed. My wife kind of was a little weirded out by that, but very grateful for it too. So
she's had two husbands and didn't even know it.
She did. You know, she's such a lucky person.
Actually three. Yeah, the one before Lyme, during Lyme, and after Lyme. Yeah.
One good one in that one.
One good one, yeah. I love it. Is there anything, as a close, I mean, if for people there starting this journey, I mean, is there anything in addition that you would like to say to them, you know, that you feel is important that you would have wanted to know yourself?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One is find your why. Really find a why to keep fighting. I know you lose hope, but I want people to know that it is worth the fight, that life on the other side is a blessing, is amazing beyond what I could have imagined at the time. So having a why, setting the intention, take small actions, small steps, even if it's brushing your teeth with the opposite hand, just doing little things that are it's uncomfortable, but it's a lot less uncomfortable than staying where you are. So take the baby steps. Once I set the intention, like I had so much passion and just so much focus on healing, I didn't care that it wasn't possible, didn't focus on any of that. I just was on target, just being like, does that mean I didn't have bad days? No, but I just fell in love with it, the process, the journey. Instead of feeling like I was taking 10 steps back on a bad day, I just kind of went, okay, that just means I'm going to have a good day coming and that my body's doing what it needs to do. I listened to my body. Like I said, I detoxed my entire life. If something didn't make me feel good, I either, you know, kind of separated myself from it or got rid of it or whatever it was, a person, food. Diet was a big thing for me. I did intermittent fasting. I'm a big fan of that, and I do one meal a day now. I probably always will. I think there's tremendous benefits in that. The body has an ability to fight for you and do it if supported correctly. And mindset is really just a huge thing. And just listen to your body and just keep fighting, really. Just keep your eye on the prize. Have a vision of the future that is positive. Start dreaming again. It's okay. Allow yourself to dream and allow yourself to feel the emotions that come up.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are great words. And it doesn't, after chatting with you, doesn't surprise me that your life kind of went into a different direction. You know, I think that Lyme changed me, and I'm not going to say for the better or the worse. I just learned a lot of amazing things. It kind of changed the mission in my life, and I earned a lot of really good friendships throughout my Lyme journey. And so I love that you're becoming involved and being vulnerable now to come out and share your story, because I think it's powerful. A lot of great, great points that people need to remember. And so you are now a life coach with all of this learning and the journey that you've gone through. So can you tell us just a little bit about that before we go?
Sure, absolutely. So you're right. Lyme kind of does that. It kind of changes your direction in life. And I was working as a sales manager at the time. And, you know, after I was feeling I was healed, I'm like, you know what? I want to help people. Like, there's something to this. I learned so much through my journey. How can I give back and help others? I started that journey and then I kind of got sidetracked. I'm coming back to it now. So just in the last 2 months, I'm focused on helping people. So I'm focused on helping people with Lyme disease take their life back. And that's help with focused and mindset and processing limiting beliefs and other things like that. So I work one-on-one with clients to, you know, help them paint a clear vision, to get them to dream again, to help with anything that I possibly can and be a resource for people.
And doesn't it feel amazing to be able to help those Lyme people? Because so many of us go through that journey and we don't have that help or that support. And so just knowing that we can give back to somebody who was once where we were, it's an amazing feeling. And, you know, that's just one of the reasons we do this podcast, is to give back and to help educate and, you know, advocate for the Lyme community and give them hope. And I always say, you are not alone. You absolutely are not alone. And even my journey, I had so much support from my family and friends, and I still felt so alone. So
I the same way. And I couldn't even see it. Like, and part of that, I think, was the pain, and you just start to push people away. And a little bit in my mind, I was saving them. Like, I can't control my emotions right now. So I was causing things to push them away.
Yeah.
But I wasn't alone. I felt all alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, it was definitely a powerful story because you had me in tears a few times. So thank you for that. Thank you. But I'm so glad to meet you and have you in the Lyme community with us to just help get those people on the other side where we are and get their life back and have a better life. So we appreciate your time and telling your journey with us. And I'm just so happy for you.
Thanks for having me so much. I'm truly grateful. And to all you out there, just really keep fighting. If you need help, please reach out. I am a resource. And to everybody on here, thank you.
Thank you so much, Ricky. This has been powerful. Thank you.
Thank you.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.